22. We are continuing on in our study of Acts here on Sunday nights. You remember 2 weeks ago, we saw how that God had opened the doors for Paul's ministry. Probably wasn't in the way that we would have planned on, or that maybe even he would have planned on. But we saw him there at the end of chapter 21. He's under arrest. But actually, it was God who had put him in those chains there on the fortress of Antonia, right directly on the side of the temple there, as he had caused this mob, or the Jews had caused this mob there because of false accusations of Paul. But there he stood there on the steps of that fortress, and he was protected by the Roman government, by those soldiers. The crazy Jewish mob couldn't harm him. And he had asked permission for a chance to be able to speak to that crazy group. And he was granted that permission. And we see what he says here in chapter 22. It's a testimony. And it's a testimony that Paul will share again before we get through with Acts to a different audience. But this is a testimony to this Jewish audience. We find that it's tailored to that audience. He speaks their language as he does so. He defends himself before them. But it's his salvation testimony. And so we're going to consider these verses here, what Paul says beginning in verse 1, Acts chapter 22. "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. When they had heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So Paul is giving his testimony here. He's defending himself. He's giving an answer He calls it his defense in verse 1. His apologia is the Greek word. His apology, an answer given to charges that were being laid against him by the Jews. But we see here in verses 1 through 5, the first part of his testimony, he shares his background. Begins with his identity. He's a Jew, not born in Israel. He's born in Tarsus, city in Cilicia, there, present-day Turkey. But he was not in Turkey, in Cilicia, his whole life. He says that he had moved to Jerusalem. He says he was brought up in this city, verse 3. At some point in Paul's early life, his parents perhaps had made the decision to send him to Jerusalem to undergo further training. He was educated under Gamaliel, who was a well-known teacher of the law. Paul, no doubt, could have said more about his background here, but he was building some rapport with his Jewish audience. He said in Philippians 3, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof you might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of an Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul had some very impressive Jewish credentials that he was sharing here with this Jewish audience. And they certainly knew the importance of those credentials that he was giving here. But he also, as he's talking about his background, he tells them about his past, his sinful past. But we see the level of zeal that he had for Judaism. He persecuted the way, he says in verse 4, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, persecuting unto death even, persecuted Christianity. He tells of the fact that he had authorization to do this in verse 5. He had letters from the high priest and the elders there to go into Damascus and to hunt down Christians there and throw them into prison, bring them bound to Jerusalem to be punished. Of course, he did it all thinking he was doing a service to God. You know, Paul had a sinful past. I wonder if Paul had any memories that he had a hard time forgetting. People that he was responsible for their deaths. Christians. Early Christians. People that he had thrown into prison. Women that he had thrown into prison even. Men and women. I think that Paul probably did have those memories. He wrote to Timothy, how he felt in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, as Paul looked back on his past, his life before he got saved, he considered himself to be the chief of sinners. And he was a big-time sinner. He was a persecutor of people. You know, if you are here today, and you all are, you have a sinful past. If you're a Christian, you have a sinful past. You know, that may be different from person to person. Certainly, I doubt that any of your backgrounds were the same as Paul's background, being a persecutor of people. But all of us have a sinful past. All of us are sinners. And for some of us, that would have been, perhaps while we were young children. I was about 7 years old when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, but I was a sinner, and I recognized that I was guilty before God. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I recognized that. But each of us have sins from which God has saved us through Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's somebody that you would be able to identify with because of what things the Lord allowed you to go through, perhaps before you got saved. Perhaps God would use that to show another person how they can know the grace of Jesus Christ. But Paul had this past, and he was doing it under the guise of Judaism, of zeal for God. But we see how God delivered him from that. And he tells us about his conversion. He was telling these Jews about his conversion here. Verses 6 through 10, came to pass that as I made my journey, verse 6, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It would have been very clear to the Jewish people that were listening to him that as Paul was telling the story from his life, that Paul, on that road to Damascus, he had an encounter with God. Jews would have been very familiar with the fact that this brilliant display of light is a symbol of God's presence in the Old Testament, especially. The repeated name that God spoke to Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? Think about Moses at the burning bush. Moses, Moses. And Samuel, the boy Samuel, as God calls to him. Samuel, Samuel. This wasn't just some crazy experience that Paul had. The Jewish people would have recognized this was an encounter with God that Paul had. This was a divine encounter. God interrupted his life. And Paul tells this to these Jews to try to get them to understand where he's coming from. It wasn't just that Paul one day gradually became very dissatisfied with Judaism, and he began to look elsewhere at just something else that would be better. You know, that wasn't the way Paul experienced things. There are people that are like that, that grow dissatisfied with what they're presently in and begin to look elsewhere. But that wasn't Paul. Paul was, you know, at the top of the life as a Jew. He was all in as a Jew. But then suddenly, God interrupts all that on the road to Damascus. He encountered God there. God totally changed his direction. You know, as you think about your own experience of conversion, probably were some human factors in it, perhaps a friend or perhaps your mom and dad that led you to come to know the Lord. But even if you look at those human factors, we need to step back and realize that God was behind those people. God was behind those circumstances. And our conversion is never just a matter of a person simply deciding to do something different, although there is a response that we must have. Our coming to the Lord is from God. Where would you be if God hadn't interrupted your life? Where would Paul be if God hadn't interrupted Paul's life on the road to Damascus? If you are saved tonight, if you're a born-again Christian, ultimately, if you trace everything back to the ultimate cause of that salvation, it is God himself. God brought salvation to Paul. God brought salvation to you. And we give God all the glory for our salvation. God interrupted his life. And then we see that Jesus reveals himself to Paul. Of course, he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Verse 7, verse 8, Paul answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said unto me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." Paul is learning a great deal of truth in these short moments. Up until this point, Paul believed that Jesus died. Paul did not believe in the resurrection. And now, all of a sudden, he meets Jesus. Jesus speaks to him. Jesus speaks to him from heaven. Paul begins to understand that Jesus is God in heaven speaking to him there in this great light. Paul is becoming aware of who Jesus truly is. Paul also realizes that Jesus identifies with his followers. Paul has been persecuting not just people, but Jesus Christ. And now everything is going to change for Paul. In some place here in these moments, Paul accepts what he learns about Jesus. And he responds in verse 10, "And I said, what shall I do, Lord?" Somewhere in there, Paul accepted the fact that Jesus is Lord. In those quick moments, he accepted that. He realized that it was his responsibility now to take orders from the Lord. "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said unto me, "Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." Then we see that Paul begins to go to Damascus, and he meets this man, Ananias. We see that Ananias helps him follow a new path in his life. See how God had prepared Ananias to help Paul in Damascus. And we've already learned some about Ananias. Luke tells us the story back in Acts chapter 9. We have this same salvation testimony there given to us in the third person. And there, you know, we read about Ananias' objection. God tells Ananias to get ready to meet Saul. And Ananias says, "Who? You mean the guy that's persecuting us?" And Ananias has to get over his objections to what God wants him to do. But then he is willing, and he meets Paul here. Ananias, verse 12, "A devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight." Paul had been blinded there. And he meets Ananias. You notice how Paul introduces Ananias to this Jewish mob. He's a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews. You know, again, this was not somebody who was outside of Judaism that was helping Paul. This was a respected Jew who now was helping Paul along this new path. God had gotten this devout Jewish man to help Paul. But he showed him what God chose for him. Verses 14 and 15, he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one." That's what happened when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He saw that just one. Paul says later on, "Have I not seen Christ Jesus, the Lord? And shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." You know, Paul was going to be one who would hear the voice of his mouth. He was going to be a preacher, not just that, a writer of Scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Ananias was showing him what was ahead for him. And then he showed him how he needed to respond. He speaks of his need here for baptism. He says that there in verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We see that the Apostle Paul came to that point where he took the step of baptism. I think the calling on the name of Jesus had happened already, the washing away of his sin, but the baptism was something that showed publicly that Paul was now identifying publicly as a Christian. And it was something that Paul needed to do. Get yourself baptized, literally is the word here, be baptized in the middle voice. Paul needed to go and to take that step. So Paul does that. We see the steps of his conversion here. And then we see a third area of his testimony here, his commission. Verses 17 through 21, Paul passes over a three-year period of his life. We learned back in Acts chapter 9 and 10 about this interesting period of Paul's life where he is preaching in Damascus, and then he goes out into the desert. Galatians tells us that he was in the desert in Arabia for a period of time, possibly up to 3 years. And then he decided that he wanted to come back to Jerusalem. We know that he tried to join with the Jerusalem church, created a stir there because they're thinking, wait a minute, this guy is just not long ago is trying to send us to jail, is trying to get us beaten, and they're not too sure about him. But he comes back to Jerusalem, and Paul now tells this Jewish crowd what he did when he went there. Verse 17, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. So what did Paul do when he come back to Jerusalem? Yes, we know he tried to get involved with the Jerusalem church there, but Paul did not forsake the temple. Paul, as a Jewish man, he went in and he took part in the temple ceremonies there and the prayers. He was trying to get these people to see, you know, he had no interest in desecrating the temple. He was still living as a Jew, even though this conversion had happened to him. They needed to see this. But he tells us what happened as he was there in the temple. He was in a trance as he worshiped there. The word for trance is the word we get the word ecstasy from. It refers to a displacement of mind from its ordinary state and self-possession. Ecstasis is the word here. Peter was in a trance once, and it was an animal trance. You remember there in Joppa, he was in a trance and he saw these animals being let down in a sheet. God told him, kill and eat. Peter has this argument with God. That was a trance as well. But it was a means of receiving a revelation from God that the Apostle Paul experienced there in the temple when he came back after he was saved. And we see that Paul received a specific instruction from God there in that trance. Verse 18. And saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So God specifically told Paul there, as he's praying in the temple, to get out of Jerusalem. God does not want Paul in Jerusalem at this point in his life as he's recounting this. Remember, this is years earlier from where he is right now. At that point, God did not want Paul in Jerusalem. He says, get out. They're not going to receive your testimony concerning me. They are scared of you. There's danger here for you, probably, Paul. And you notice what Paul says in response to that. It's very interesting. God says, okay, you go out from Jerusalem. And what does Paul say in response to that? He says, Lord, they know that I imprisoned them and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. When the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Now, what is Paul doing here? It seems that Paul is protesting a little bit about what God is telling him to do. God is telling him very early on in his life, get out of Jerusalem. But Paul seems to have the idea that he can have a ministry. He wants to have a ministry here in Jerusalem. Why? Because he knows these people. He used to be like them. He used to have the same mentality they had of trying to persecute Christians and even kill them. It seems that Paul felt that he could have had a great ministry there in Jerusalem if people could recognize who he was. You know, here was Paul, this great guy who was really high up in Judaism, and now he's a Christian. Wow, that'd be great. You know, think of what Paul could do. It's almost kind of like maybe a celebrity that gets converted today. And think what an impact that celebrity could have upon his followers if he were able to continue to reach them. You know, if you hear the Christian news nowadays, everybody's talking about Kanye West. All right, have you heard about him? This rapper that got saved in the last 6 months or to a year, I think, and seems to have a credible profession of faith, and talking, having Bible studies with people that seem to be Bible believers and things like that. And what do you make of that? Well, I think the Apostle Paul may have been, you know, somewhat similar to that. You know, here is this guy that used to be a big deal in Jerusalem, and now he's saved. And Paul, at this point in his life, he thinks, Jerusalem is where I need to be. That's where I've been. I love Jerusalem. I want to minister there. But God has other plans for Paul. And it didn't matter what Paul thought would be the best for him. He says the response that God has to Paul's response there in verse 21 is, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. God's plan for Paul was not to reach Jews in Jerusalem. God's plan for Paul was to reach Gentiles. And God said, get out of there. Get out of Jerusalem. I'm going to send you to Gentiles. But again, you notice that it came from God's mouth. And I think that's what Paul is trying to emphasize here before this crowd of Jews. As Paul's sharing his testimony and even his commission, his call in his life, he's trying to show these people that this is what God did in his life. God interrupted his life. Paul was a big-time Jew, but God stopped that. Paul was going to stay in Jerusalem and try to reach Jews, but God stopped that and said, no, you're going to reach Gentiles. This is what I have for you. You're going to other countries all around the world. You're going to reach other people. That's what God wanted. Sometimes we don't have God's idea of what is best for us. We might want what is most comfortable for us. We might think, this really is what I want. I'm comfortable in this area. Probably Paul felt that he was fitted for ministry in Jerusalem. He knew Jews. If anybody knew Jews, Paul did. I mean, that's what he did. But we find that God had other plans. And I think the lesson is that we just have to be flexible to what God wants to do with us. And God may have something completely different, perhaps out of our comfort zone, that he wants us to do. And we need to be willing to do it. So Paul's testimony here to the Jews, we see how they respond in verse 22. Probably not the response that he wanted. They gave him audience unto this word, then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. God had given Paul this opportunity to give his testimony. And we see how that testimony was a testimony of the grace of God, God's working in Paul's life. God confronted Paul on the road to Damascus and wonderfully saved him. And that is the way every testimony really should be. You know, this is what God has done in my life. God put me in this place at this time, and that's how I heard the gospel. And that's what happened with Paul. God did a wonderful work in his life, and we need to praise God for the wonderful work that he's done in each one of our lives. It's probably a lot different than what happened with Paul. But the other side is, it's a lot the same, because it's the work that God did in our lives. So we need to be thankful for that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your work in our lives. It really is no less amazing than the work that you did in the Apostle Paul's life. We thank you for this testimony of a man who was the chief of sinners, and yet you reached down and stopped him in his path and turned him around. And how thankful we are that you can do that. You still do that in the lives of people even today. And pray that you would do that. We thank you, Lord, for doing it in our own lives, for saving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.